This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. غرباء 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 ولغير الله لا نحني الجبال.
السلام عليكم. This is Yasmin Mujahid and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. We are doing something a little different today. We have a number of important announcements as well. But today, inshallah, the topic will be on the question of what gives you peace. And what I hope today is to have people call in. We are taking live calls again today, and share your inspirational stories, something uplifting, something that you personally, that gives you tranquility, that gives you peace. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that if we were to try to count His blessings, we would never be able to do it. So this is a show about celebrating those blessings and sharing them, inshallah, with others, and in hopes of inspiring other people as well and uplifting them. We also are doing something special this week as well at One Legacy Radio. Just kind of a little introduction. For those of you who aren't aware, One Legacy Radio is a nonprofit organization, and it has recently merged with In Focus News. In Focus News is the only Muslim newspaper in Southern California. It is now available in 4 states in the United States. And what we want to do, what we're hoping to do, is expand. And the reason why this is so important is because we as Muslims are very much, the voice of Muslims is very much unheard in the media, unfortunately. And as you see from what's happening around us and the very tragic events that continue to happen, I'm on the listserv for CARE, and I just every day we get a new email about something, a new attack on a masjid and a new attack, a new act of discrimination. And it's extremely overwhelming. But, you know, part of what we need to do is we need to create a Muslim voice in media, and this is really an effort in that direction. It's not just talk, it's something that people are doing, and they need your support. This is a nonprofit organization, and it cannot continue. We cannot continue to have this platform for Muslim media without your support. So we're asking our listeners and readers of In Focus to please become members. We're doing this membership drive in hopes of being able to expand, in hopes of being able to be, you know, to continue to make this effort successful. We really need your support. And this is something that can, inshallah, be considered one of those aspects which benefit you in your grave. Because we know from the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there are 3 things that continue to benefit you even after you die, even in your grave, of your deeds. And one of them is a sadaqah jariyah. When you give a sadaqah, when you give charity and it continues to benefit people, this is building institutions, building schools, building media platforms, things that will continue to benefit and grow even after you have passed away. And another aspect that the Prophet ﷺ spoke about is a knowledge, some knowledge that you pass on, or you help to pass on, that continues to benefit others. I hope that this act, you know, make your intention for that. And when you go ahead and if you go to the player on our site, the player has a link where you can just click on become a member. And it's extremely important that we get your support and do this. This is an act for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make your intention that you are trying to aid Muslims and Islam and create that voice and that place where Muslims can be heard, and where we have not just a platform for da'wah, but also a place for Muslims to go for support as well. And we hope that, inshallah, this show provides that service and other shows that One Legacy, puts on, as well as In Focus News. Now, today, inshallah, the show that we're having, it's hopefully, it's hopefully it will be inspiring to others to hear these stories. I encourage you to call in. The number again is 714-988-8182. That's 714-988-8182. And what we're asking today is for you to share your inspirational stories. What if I were to ask you this question, what gives you peace? What inspires you? What when you are feeling down or overwhelmed, what are the things that you do or the things in your life that bring you up? What are the things in your life that give you peace internally? And you can also share your stories on the chat box. I would love to have you call in. I think that a lot of people can benefit from your stories. With regards to the membership drive, you can become a member from anywhere in the United, from anywhere in the world. You do not have to be located in the United States. If you do live in the United States, it is because it is, a nonprofit. Any donations are tax deductible. You can contact us at InFocus or at One Legacy Radio and find out the details for that. But you can become a member from anywhere in the world, inshallah. Now, in answering this question of what are the blessings that you find, kind of bring you up when you're down. As we're waiting for others to chime in on that question, I just wanted to share a couple reflections myself. There's, for me personally, I think that during one of the most difficult parts of my life, there was, you find that there are certain parts of the Quran, there are certain verses that speak to you in certain situations and certain times of your life, and they serve as that inspiration that you need and kind of what gets you through those parts of your life. And for me personally, it was this part in the Quran where it talked about the story of Musa alayhi salam. And it's something I've shared before in my articles as well. But we were told that when Musa alayhi salam was leaving or trying to escape Fir'aun and his army, and he was with Bani Israel, and they got to a point where now they're in front of the Red Sea, and they see these armies approaching them behind. This, if you can imagine being in that situation, it's a pretty intense situation, because you have to realize that Pharaoh was the superpower of that time. He was the tyrant of that time, and he and his army are approaching. And in front of Bani Israel and Musa alayhi salam is the Red Sea. And so you can imagine how trapped they feel at that point and how hopeless the situation really looks in the physical realm. And yet, when what we're told in the ayah is, فَلَمَّا تَرَى الْجَمْعَانُ قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَى إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ, that when they saw the armies approaching, they saw this situation, the people of Musa said, we will be overtaken. إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ قَالَ كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعِيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. And Musa alayhi salam, the tawakkul of Musa, the faith of Musa, he said kalla immediately. He said by no means. He wasn't shaken even by this situation. And that's really, really inspiring to me, because this situation, most people would look at this situation that Musa alayhi salam was in and say, well, there's no way out, right? I mean, who's going to see a way out of this situation? There's a Red Sea in front of you, and there's an army behind you, and it happens to be a superpower army. Where's the way out? But Musa alayhi salam, his faith and his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so strong that he didn't even waver. It didn't shake him, although the situation looked impossible. And he immediately said, kalla, inna ma'ya rabbi sayahdeen. First, he rejects that doubt that the people had, the doubt in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's what it is, it's doubt. When we think that we're in a situation and there's no way out and we will, we'll never be saved from that situation, or we will never be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not make a way out for us, that's doubting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's a deficiency in one's iman and one's trust in Allah. He did not have that even for a moment. And then after that, he says, "Inna ma'a Rabbi sayahdin." Indeed, inna, indeed, my Lord is with me, and He will guide me through. This story, just these ayat, really, for me personally, they have been extremely, extremely inspiring, because these lessons that we learn from the Quran are not just stories, of course, but they are inspirations for us. They are to teach us. They are to keep us firm in those situations where we may not have Pharaoh behind us, and we may not have an army chasing us. We may not have the Red Sea in front of us, but we have different situations. We have maybe financial situations. We have personal situations. We have situations and different types of crises that also make us feel trapped. Sometimes it's depression. Sometimes it's anxiety. Sometimes it's loss. And these things, they make us feel like there's no way out. They make us feel like inna lamudrakun, we will be overtaken. We have those doubts inside of us. The waswasa, the whispering, in this case that of Bani Israel, but that's inside of all of us, sometimes. And then there's that voice of Musa alayhi salam, kalla, inna ma'a rabbi sayahdin. Indeed, I am. My Lord is with me, and He will guide me through. So it's a reminder to all of us, and I think that when we talk about what inspires us and what uplifts us and what gives us peace, I think there's few other things that will be able to do that, like the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the gifts of Allah. Allah gives us gifts in a lot of different forms, a lot of different ways. And I think this is really, the Quran is one of those gifts. Ramadan is one of those gifts. In the last 10 nights of Ramadan, those are, one of those gifts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us these gifts to lift us up and to give us that peace. And subhanAllah, in the story of Musa, I personally found that peace, and steadfastness at a time when I was also, feeling very shaken. So I wanted to share that story, that personal story with you, and inshallah, I hope to hear your stories as well. The number again is 714-988-8182. We will be taking a short break now, and when we return, we will open up the lines again for your calls. غرباء 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 ولغير الله لا نحن الجبال. Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmeen Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. We'd like to welcome you guys today, inshallah, to hopefully what will be an uplifting discussion. And we're also asking you to support the radio station and this platform, of Muslim media. When you click on the Become a Member at the top of the player, it will direct you to the InFocus website. As I mentioned, InFocus has merged with One Legacy Radio. One Legacy Radio has the radio side of the media platform, and InFocus covers the written, the newspaper side of it. But we have merged as one organization. We hope to expand this platform for Muslim media, provide a platform by which the voice of Muslims can be heard in the media, both for Muslims as well as non-Muslims. The perspective of Muslims is extremely important. As we see, we live, unfortunately, in a time when there's so much hatred and misunderstanding towards Islam and Muslims, and it's extremely, extremely important that we have that opportunity. We are taking calls today. We're talking about what are those things that give you peace when you're feeling down or overwhelmed, what uplifts you, and we hope that you can share your stories. The number is 714-988-8182. We have a number of inspirational stories that were shared in the chat box as well. I will share some of those, and we hope to hear from you online on the call in as well. As a youth, I get inspiration from the youth in the cave, Surat al-Kahf. Recently, I've been considering whether or not I should wear the hijab. My dad is really against my decision, saying I won't get married or I'll never get a job or I'll be severely discriminated in school, but I find solace in this. That is really beautiful and inspiring, subhanAllah. And that's exactly what those stories are for, because what those ayat are for, they are, as you mentioned, they're not just stories, but they are lessons for us, inspiration for us. Sometimes we have, we are dealing with situations like you mentioned, where we want to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to do. We want something like hijab. And this is true, that a lot of times sisters face opposition against the hijab, ironically from their own family members, not even from the society, but from their own home. And it's very hard to stand firm against, obviously, when you have the pressure from within your own home. But this is exactly what these stories do, is it gives you that strength to be able to say that no matter what, I'm going to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't worship anything else. We don't worship the people in our lives. We don't worship society. We don't worship fashion. We only worship Allah. And if Allah says that this is what I'm supposed to be doing, then this is what I'm going to be doing, regardless of what anyone else says. And talking about the specific aspects that were brought up, that's brought up a lot. You won't find a job, you won't get married, you'll be discriminated against. SubhanAllah, it's very, very interesting to look at these statements, because we have to ask ourselves, from where does the job come from? From where does the provision come? From where does our career come? From where does this spouse, this husband, where is this marriage going to happen, and where is it going to come from? And the answer is, everything comes from Allah. And so it's very, I'd say at best we could call it foolish to think that we are going to disobey and displease the source and then expect lots of great things to come to us from the source. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the source of these things that we want so desperately. And yet, we think that disobeying him, doing the opposite of what he's commanded, is going to make us more successful. This is a nonsensical, of course, and it's usually an indication that we've forgotten where these things really come from. What is the source of our provision and this job that we want to find? What is the source of this husband that we, this wonderful husband that we want to marry? What is the source of these things? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's interesting to see that we would never, if we were in a company and we really wanted a raise and we really wanted a promotion, it would probably not be very wise to continuously disobey and to continuously anger the boss. If the boss tells you to have a report in by noon and you say, actually, I don't really feel like doing it, or the boss says, I need this particular task done by tomorrow, and you say, well, no, I actually didn't really feel like doing that either. And then at the end of the month, you expect a raise. at the end of the month, you expect a promotion. Nobody would really do that. But this is what we do with Allah. And Allah is high above any analogy. But this is what we do with Allah. We disobey Him. He tells us to do something, and we say, I don't really feel like doing it. He tells us not to do something, and we say, well, actually, I feel like doing it. And we do that, ironically, because we want a raise. It doesn't make sense. The person who says, well, actually, I'm not really going to do this report because actually I want a raise, it doesn't make sense. And so for us to say we want a great job and we want a great husband and we want all these wonderful things from the boss, which is Allah, by disobeying Him, again, it doesn't make sense, and it's not indicative of a very wise decision, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I am on talk radio. Anytime you log in, and we have Serenity streaming live every day, Monday through Friday, at the same time at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 6 p.m. GMT, and we are always on talk radio. What uplifts me when I have stress and depression, and when the dunya, life of the dunya, is taking over my life and it occupies my daily routine, when I realize that I am unhappy with my time management and in being occupied by the dunya life, I know that I am already guided by Allah for giving me a time. It got cut off. But this is, you know, this is the thing that that often does distract us. He says, "Know that I am already guided by Allah for giving me time to reflect, and for to realize that what I'm doing is wrong. Alhamdulillah, I utter and I remember this surah, which helps me all the time. There's no words in how I feel after I read this. Just Alhamdulillah." You know, he's right in that, you know, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who even is the one who reminds us that we have a problem. The fact that we remember that we are getting distracted is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we have to thank Allah for that, and turn to Him when we are getting distracted. And he went on to explain that it's we did not expand you. This is the ayah from Ash-Sharh, chapter 94. We did not expand you, O Muhammad. Did we not? Alam nashrah laka sadrak. Did we not expand for you your breast, and we removed from your burden which has weighed you down? Weighed upon your back, and raised high for you your repute. For indeed with hardship will be ease, with hardship comes ease. You know, so inna ma'al usri yusra. This is an ayah that's repeated twice in a row, and it gives you that sense, that reminder that with every hardship there's ease, and it does not just happen after, but it happens with the hardship itself. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Some other people shared some very inspirational stories as well. One person says, "I used to get mad at Allah because it feels like He doesn't answer my dua, but I found peace after reading this ayah. It may be that you dislike a thing which is good for you, and that you like a thing which is bad for you. Allah knows, but you do not know. This ayah calms me." This is extremely important. This is Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 216. عَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. It may be that you hate something and it's good for you. عَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. It may be that you love something and it's bad for you. Allah knows and we do not know. And this is absolutely what we need to realize. Sometimes we do make dua for something specific, and we think Allah is not answering our dua, but this is absolutely wrong, because Allah answers all duas. But sometimes it is not in the form that we ask. And the reason for that is because it may be that we hate something and it's good for us, and it may be that we love something and it is bad for us. We may be asking for something that is not in our best interest, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to protect us. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us something instead. And what Allah gives is always better for us. Someone else says the ayah, "And when my servant asks about me, وَإِن سُئِلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبُ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. And when my servant asks you about me, of course I am near. I respond to the call of one when he prays to me. So they should respond to me and have faith in me, so that they may be on the right path. It inspires and gives me real peace." And this is also Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 186. This is something that also gives us a lot of peace, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always hears our call. There's never a time when we feel like, oh, He's not answering our dua, and that's not true. Allah always answers, Allah always hears. It's just the form in which it's answered. It may or may not be the way we've asked, and it's because Allah knows best. The ayah, this other, someone else shared, it is we, let's see. "It is we who relate to you their story in truth. Indeed, they were youth who believed in their Lord, and we increased them in guidance, and we made firm their hearts when they stood up and said, 'Our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. Never will we invoke beside Him any deity.'" And this is it, you know, sharing the story of Ahl al-Kahf. And this is an inspiration for all the youth, especially those who are being, again, there's a lot of opposition in different directions. We have opposition from society, and there's opposition sometimes from within the own family. It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can hold us up. Who can hold us up during those times and ever? Allah is the one who, if He holds you up, nothing can knock you down. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to leave you, then nothing can hold you up. Someone shares that what uplifts me is knowing that Allah is the best of planners. Again, you know, sometimes we spend a lot of time trying to plan for ourselves, trying to plan for our lives, trying to plan for our careers. And this, you know, we get frustrated at times. Things are not working out the way we want. But just knowing that Allah is the best of planners, that we are going to plan, but Allah is the best of planners. And He has our whole life in His hands. And He is the one who gives and takes based on absolute knowledge of what is best and what is not best. Someone says, Salam Yasmin, I haven't been feeling at peace lately. I have these excessive thoughts and I find myself unable to quiet those thoughts. I can't even sleep at night anymore. I refuse to take medicine. I don't know how to cure this disease. You know, subhanAllah, it's there's a lot of things that could cause this. And so it's very difficult to say. You can't know without knowing the situation. It'd be very difficult to know what could cause this. But I can maybe speak about a few things that could potentially cause this. Of course, it could be a medical, situation. It could be that there's something that we are too attached to or too dependent upon other than Allah. And when we become too sort of obsessed with something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or too dependent, when our life revolves around an axis other than the axis of La ilaha illallah, other than the axis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it causes a lot of distress, and it causes, because it's, You're tipping the balance in a way that it was never meant to be. And so it causes internally a lot of anxiety and sadness and depression and distress. So sometimes that's the cause, that we need to really come back and bring the center of gravity needs to be Allah again instead of this other thing. And just to give you an idea, those other things that we sometimes make our center of gravity or the center of our life, sometimes it's other people in our lives. Sometimes it's somebody who we're married to, or someone who we want to marry. Sometimes it's our careers. Sometimes it's our children. Sometimes it's our status or money, our business, wealth. Sometimes it's these other things, and it becomes such an obsession for us that we actually we no longer are focused on Allah, but instead on this particular thing. And as a result, it creates a lot of anxiety and a lot of sadness and a lot of internal distress. So at times it may be that we need to rebalance and come back and refocus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and let those other things take their proper place. They should not be at the center of our center of gravity. They should not be at the axis of for which we revolve everything else around. But we need to once you refocus and you put that center back in place, things get back to the way they should be internally and externally, coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making Him the focus. And that happens through increasing your remembrance, increasing your dhikr, and then also cleaning the heart through tawbah. So it's kind of this two-step process, which have to happen simultaneously and have to happen consistently. One is cleaning the heart. The heart is the lens by which we see the whole world. The heart is actually the apparatus by which we understand the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts that they don't think or reason with. He does not say they have minds that they do not reason with, but hearts. It's the heart that really is the apparatus by which we understand the world and see the world. And Allah says also that it's not the eyes that are blind, but it's the heart inside the chest. So we see with the heart and we think and reason with the heart. So we have to clean that apparatus so that we can see and reason correctly. And that process of cleaning it comes through tawbah and also through dhikr. Dhikr is the food of the heart, the air of the heart. Remembering Allah often is what's going to keep the heart alive. And then cleaning the heart through tawbah is what's going to keep the heart clean so that it can see properly. And that's how we refocus and bring back that proper balance in our lives with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the center. Someone else writes, "What I also do is recall all the times Allah opened a window or a door when you were in a difficult period in the past. This gives me hope for the future." That's a really beautiful reflection, and I think it's a very good advice. When you're in a difficult situation today, it's a very helpful and to look back at previous times when you were in a difficult situation and how Allah saved you and how what Allah did for you and how Allah made a way out for you. And it's to remind you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always makes a way out if you focus on Him. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. He says that whoever has taqwa of Him, who has fear of Him, consciousness of Him, He does two things that are mentioned in this ayah. يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. He makes a way out for him. وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And He provides for him from places that he never imagined. So you get a way out of this seemingly hopeless situation, this overwhelming situation. You get a way out. And then on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides you from places you never imagined. And that brings me to the conclusion of the story I began with, before we go to break. And that is when Musa alayhi salam was standing in front of the Red Sea, and we said that the armies were coming behind him and this Red Sea was in front of him. And the people were saying, "Inna lamudrakun." He said, "Kalla, inna ma'ya rabbi sayahdeen." By no means. Indeed, my Lord is with me and He will guide me through. And then we see what happens after that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Musa alayhi salam to take his staff and to strike the sea. And when he strikes the sea, Allah opens the Red Sea for him. And this is a lesson for us, that when you're in that situation and it feels like you're trapped and it feels like there's no way out, when you say, "Kalla, inna ma'ya rabbi sayahdeen," with your heart, right? It's not just something you say with your tongue. When you really, really see that Allah is with you and He will guide you through no matter what the situation is, Allah will make a way out for you from a place you never imagined. In this case, He actually opened up a sea for these people. Inshallah, we will go ahead and take a break now. The number again to call in is 714-988-8182.
غرباء 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 ولغير الله لا نحني الجبال.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmin Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. We today are talking about inspirational stories. What things uplift you when you're feeling down or hopeless? And we're calling on you to support this radio station, to support this effort. Without your support, we really cannot go on, and we cannot continue to have these shows, cannot continue to broadcast as we are. Alhamdulillah, we are worldwide, and anyone can listen. But we need your support in order to continue these types of efforts. And One Legacy has merged with In Focus News, the newspaper arm kind of this media platform for Muslims. We need a voice for Muslims, and we need your support in order to do that. One Legacy Radio is a nonprofit organization, and we cannot continue without that support of our listeners. So if you can please become a member, you'll see that at the player at the top, there's a red button where you can become a member. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has told us through the words of the Prophet, peace be upon him. This is potentially something that can benefit us in our graves, because sadaqah jariyah is something that you give. It's a sadaqah you give. It's a charity that you give, and it continues to benefit people even after you die. When you are investing in this type of institution, this is what is driving these shows, if you're benefiting anything from these shows, if you've benefited or others have benefited, it's because of this support from our listeners and from our readers. That is how this can continue to benefit people. And that money that we invest for the sake of helping others and something that will continue to help others is something that can benefit us even after we've passed away in our graves. That the Prophet ﷺ has told us this is one of those three things. So please do support the radio station. Ask others to support. If you enjoy and you benefit from any of the efforts that One Legacy has done, please do support and ask others to do so as well. We are sharing today about, we're talking about inspirational stories of what people, what people do when they're feeling burdened, overburdened. And one person shared, knowing that in fact Allah does not burden us more than we can bear in our trials. And this is very, very true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah never gives you a takleef, never gives you a burden, except what you're able to bear. This means a number of things. One, Allah will never command us to do something, except that we can do it, right? Allah will never command us to do something or make something obligatory upon us that is too hard for us to do. And if it truly was too hard, then it wouldn't have been obligatory. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to pray 5 times a day. You know, someone who, you know, maybe it's difficult for them, or they don't feel like praying at work or at school, might say, oh, but that's just too hard. Well, we know that that isn't true, because if it were too hard, as a general rule, Allah would not have made it obligatory. But Allah has made it obligatory, and there that necessitates the fact that it is not too hard. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah would not put that takleef on us. Allah would not put that burden on us, or that responsibility on us, except unless we were able to bear it. So we know for a fact that we are able to bear it, and it is not in fact too hard for us to do. We know that we can do it. So anytime we get in a situation and we feel like something that Allah has made obligatory on us, hijab or salah or fasting or zakah or any of these things that Allah has made obligatory, we feel like, oh man, it's too hard. We should know that is the waswasa of our nafs and of shaitan, trying to make us feel that it's too hard. And we should remind ourselves, no, Allah would not have made it obligatory if it were too hard. And then you look at situations where maybe, for example, Allah has prohibited alcohol, Allah has prohibited pork. You know, and normally we live our lives, we can't really say, oh, it's just too hard to avoid, pork, it's too hard to avoid alcohol. Of course it's not, it's something we can do. But suppose you're on a deserted island and there's absolutely no other food except for a piece of pork, right? And you're going to die unless you eat it. In that situation, and in that specific situation, even in that situation, it's no longer haram for you to eat just enough to stay alive. So again, the ayah holds true. Allah never puts a burden on you, never puts a responsibility on you, never a takleef except that you can bear it, unless you would be able to bear it. And if that situation arises where you literally cannot bear it, and Allah knows best, then it is no longer a takleef on you. It is no longer a responsibility on you. For example, the case where you need to eat something forbidden in order to stay alive. So this is one of the meanings of and understandings of this ayah. And then beyond that is in these times of hardship, when we feel burdened, we feel that we have this heaviness on us, that Allah has never given you and will never give you more than you can handle in that hardship. He will never give you a burden and a heaviness more than you can handle. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who holds you up. So Allah might give you something that's heavy, objectively heavy to carry. But if Allah is the one carrying it for you, it doesn't feel heavy anymore. If Allah is the one holding you and that heaviness up, it's, doesn't matter, because it's not heavy for you anymore. The fear is, we worry a lot about carrying heavy things. We worry a lot about storms. We worry a lot about these types of things. But it doesn't matter that it's raining outside as long as you have shelter. right? It doesn't matter that there's this really heavy weight that you know you're about to have to carry. There's this really heavy weight. It doesn't matter that it weighs 150 pounds if you have someone else come and carry it for you, right? And this is the idea, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives you things, and yet He is the one who holds you up if you seek His help. And so even though it is heavy objectively, it weighs 150 pounds, you're not the one holding it if you are seeking the help of Allah. And even though it's raining outside, you're not the one getting rained on. You're not getting wet if you have shelter. That shelter is only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have that shelter, you don't need to worry about the rain. If you have Allah to carry, you don't have to worry about the weight. It's really our focus needs to be worrying about, not rather, you know, subhanAllah, so much of our focus is on worrying about the rain and worrying about the weight and worrying about these things. But really our focus needs to be, do we have shelter once the rain comes? And do we have someone to carry it for us? Do we have that nearness to Allah? Are we seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that when the weight comes, He carries it for us? Because there's no weight on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is high above any of these burdens. It's only heavy if we try to carry it ourselves. And we will never be able to do that. If we try to rely on ourselves, if we try to rely on the creation, we will never be able to stand. It is only through seeking the help and refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can stay dry in the storm, and we can you know, not get overburdened by these weights. Someone else shares, I feel peace when I read Surah Al-Fatiha with concentration. And, you know, this is amazing. We sort of, I think, take Surah Al-Fatiha for granted because we read it at least 17 times a day in our fara'id, in our salah. And I actually heard a story when I was in Malaysia from this sister, a very inspirational story about a sister who was raised as a Muslim, and you know, she was born as a Muslim rather, but she was, you know, far from the deen. And she started to, when she got to be, I think, like in her 20s or so, she started to search for, you know, the truth. So she actually started to investigate all different types of religion. She left Islam actually for some time, and you know, she became a Christian. She investigated for a number of years. She was actually Christian. She investigated a number of different religions and you know, just trying to find the truth. And after searching, this active search for over 10 years, she decided, you know, maybe I'll read the Quran, because even though she was born Muslim, she hadn't really read it. So she opened up the Quran and she just read Surah Al-Fatiha. And she said she literally fainted. She literally fainted when she read Surah Al-Fatiha. And she described that how the reason that it made her faint is because in that surah was the answer to what she had been looking for her entire life. And she just didn't know it. She hadn't even read it. She hadn't really reflected on it. And it was like, it's so moving to hear this story, because we read Surah Al-Fatiha every day. We read it so many times a day and it doesn't even shake us. And yet this woman, you know, it was Surah Al-Fatiha that brought her back to Islam and shook her so much that she actually fainted. So subhanAllah, it's something really to think about. There is a truth in these words that we are missing, we are overlooking, and we need to really come back to it. SubhanAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to that truth of His words. Surah Al-Fatiha is a gem, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a reason why He's told us to recite it so many times. We need to come back to really reflecting on His words. Someone says, let's see. What do you suggest for people dealing with anxiety and panic attacks? I find peace and solace when doing salah, but it is not always possible to stop and go pray. So what do you suggest we do? This is a really excellent question, and it's actually wonderful that you find solace in salah from this anxiety and this panic. And that's exactly what salah is. That's the design, right? It's supposed to have that effect on us. And the truth is, if we do feel nothing in our salah, then there's something wrong in the way we're doing it, or in the khushua. So you feel, the fact that you feel the peace and the solace in salah is a very good sign. But we need to realize that Salah is not the only time that we remember Allah. But we should and can remember Allah between our prayers as well. You know, obviously there's the reflection on His words and reading Quran and listening to Quran. But even beyond that, any time we're going somewhere, we're in the car, we're walking, we're studying, we're travel, whatever we're doing, actions, we can always be mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through dhikr, with our tongue, and also in our hearts. Remembering Allah is not only saved for the salah. And sometimes that's our problem, is that we only remember Allah in our prayers, you know, for a few minutes a day. And so the rest of the time, we were lost in dunya. This is why we become anxious. It's why we become also have so much trouble when we do start to pray at so much trouble focusing on Allah, because we're not focusing on Him between our prayers. We're not thinking about Him between our prayers. What we should be doing is continuing that remembrance that we are doing in our prayers, continuing it even after we're done praying and between our prayers. Dhikr, you know, the Prophet ﷺ told us that these words, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Subhan, you know, Allahu Akbar, these very small words, they are light on the tongue, but they're heavy on the scale of good deeds. It's easy for us to say these things, but they have a very heavy effect on our hearts and on our state. So just being consistently remembering Allah with our tongues and with our hearts is going to help you cure that panic and that anxiety. And it's going to help you refocus your heart on Allah even outside of your prayers. The more that you do that, the more peace you'll have outside of your prayers, but also the more ability you will have to focus inside of your prayers on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So keeping in mind that dhikr is not just in prayers, but it's also between our prayers. Get in the habit of saying the adhkar. There are adhkar supplications in the morning that the Prophet ﷺ taught us to make when the sun rises. There are adhkar after every prayer. There are adhkar that we're told to say once the sun sets, adhkar al-masa'. There are adhkar for before we sleep. There are adhkar for every action that we make. You know, you're leaving the house, there's a dhikr. There, you're coming back in the house, there's a dhikr. You start to eat, there's a dhikr. You finish eating, there's a dhikr. You start to drive, there's a dhikr. There's a dhikr for going into the bathroom. There's a dhikr for leaving the bathroom. Dhikr for entering the masjid. Dhikr for leaving the masjid. Dhikr for intimacy. Dhikr for finishing, you know, anything you do, or putting on new clothes. There's subhanAllah, we're taught this for a reason. And you can understand that if we were to really try to follow this and try to say all these adhkar in all these different positions of life, we would be remembering Allah all the time. And it says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in Surah Al-Imran, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ. It's, you know, Allah describes people, ulil albab, these people who remember Allah standing and sitting and on their sides. Standing and sitting and on their sides. What's left? You know, this is every position. It's remembering Allah, not just when you're praying, but in every position. And they reflect, and they look at the signs in the heavens and the earth. They reflect on the signs of the heavens and the earth. And they say, and they realize, and they're led to this understanding, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ. This consistent remembrance of Allah leads you to an awareness that every single thing around you has a purpose. Every single thing around you, every single thing happening in your life, everything not happening in your life, everything that you see, everything you don't see, everything you experience is created for a very specific purpose. The more you remember Allah, when you are among those who remember Allah, قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ, standing, sitting, and on their sides, you are among those ulil albab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the people of intellect, the people who understand, the people of understanding, that you will be able to be led to this understanding of رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ. Allah does not create anything without a purpose. It's not just the heavens and the earth that have a purpose, but every single thing in your life has a purpose. Every experience has a purpose. Every loss has a purpose. Every gain has a purpose. Every success and every failure has a purpose. And you will be able to see that once you become among those who remember Allah in every situation. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the rest of your Ramadan. And inshallah, please do continue to support this effort, to support this radio station and this effort to create a platform for Muslim media. أَقُولِ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرَ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُ وَبِحَمْدَكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
غرباء 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 ولغير الله لا نحن الجبال.